welcome. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, New Zealand's only full-time conspiracy talk radio. And incidentally, it's only being broadcast in America. Don't you love that? Okay, speaking of New Zealand and America and the things that relate, we have my very special colleague, friend, and other very, you know, positive, nice adjectives, guest on here for the moment, Suzanne Posel from OccupyCorporatism.com and RealGorillaMedia.com. And before we go to her for a second, I just wanted to make a quick announcement. Those of you who are subscribers to the Vinnie Eastwood Show, I think there might be two of you left. A whole lot of people have cancelled their subscription to the Vinnie Eastwood Show because of the PayPal worries that we've had over the last couple of days. I've sent out a number of emails and things like that, and thank you for listening to me when I told you to cancel. Now the sort. Everything is all sorted. So if you want to go to the homepage, thevinnieeastwoodshow.com, just down on the left there, I think scroll down just a tiny bit, and down on the left there underneath where it says, you know, we accept donations and what have you, there are two new PayPal buttons there. Buy now if you want to make a donation between $5 and $100 or whatever. And the subscribe button if you want to donate regularly. And I will be available for comment on this as well if you want to email me and sort out some kind of a refund if you want from the previous account. I can refund stuff from that previous account, but I can't do anything else with that. So there's the housekeeping done. And we also have Rupert Quaintance coming on the show today. In fact, we could probably bring him up right now, I guess. Suzanne, while we're waiting for Rupert. Rupert, are you there, mate? No, it had a bit of a drop-off. Okay, Suzanne, news. Cyprus, the frickin' scumbaggery. Dig this.
Yeah. over the past weekend, government said, well, they took a bailout, or they were going to take a bailout from the IMF, and in order to pay it back, they were going to siphon out money from people's private checking accounts, a percentage. If you had a deposit, if you made a deposit and it was a low amount, it would be 6.75%. If it was a higher amount, it would be 9.9%. And so everyone ran to the ATMs. One guy got a bulldozer and tried to bulldoze the front of the bank to get in there. The banks closed their doors. They ran the ATMs dry. And then the government said, we're not going to take the bailout from the IMF. They went ahead and said, we're not going to do it. Russia has decided to help them out. And the finance minister from Cyprus is now speaking with the finance minister from Russia, and they're working out the details. The IMF is really upset, and the European Central Bank is very upset. And in mainstream media here in the United States, they're talking about how horrible it is that this is happening, what a bad deal this is. But really it boils down to Russia has a lot of money in Cyprus banks. And they're in talks of purchasing the popular bank in Cyprus, which is owned by the government. And the Cyprus government is talking about trading some of their natural gas reserves in order to help pay for the bailout that Russia will give them. So they're doing some barter and trading, and they're walking away from the IMF. Christine Lagarde actually had her house raided by the French police on an unrelated charge, and is under suspicion of doing some bad things, but of course she's part of the IMF, so she does bad things all day long. But it's also in New Zealand. And I wrote the article and put it up today. The finance minister in New Zealand said, hey, what's going on in Cyprus sounds like a good deal. Let's do that too. Let's take money out of people's banks.
The finance minister, Bill English, I'm familiar with him. I It really annoys me that New Zealanders think that their politicians have brains. You know, they frickin' they've got evil, and that's it. Okay, they've managed to squeeze out every other part of their personality and just leave, you know, just this pure evil in there, you know, and this pure manipulative ability.
Oh yes, we're going to make sure that all the slaves and serfs bail out our banks.
And speaking of which, evil cackles. We have Rupert Quaintance on the line. Rupert, welcome to the program.
Thank you very much, sir.
Mm-mm. How's it going, man?
It's going good. How's it going with you?
I don't know how to answer that question, honestly. I'm a little conflicted.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking about this the Cyprus bank bailout type of thing. Now, isn't it one of the most sickening things that you could ever think of, and so obviously tyrannical, that you would steal the people's money, like the government would steal the people's money out of their own bank accounts in order to give it to private banks? What the hell is that? You know, in what universe does this make any kind of sense? You know, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? You just, and I was just thinking about this morning, and maybe the both of you might be able to comment on this. Let's just thinking about this. Hold on a second. When was the last time I actually got out of my house, you know, and instead of just doing this radio show and exposing scumbaggery on here, when was the last time I actually got in the face of one of these scumbags? When was the last time I actually stopped anything from happening? When was the last time I actually informed people who didn't already know what was going on about the truth and things like this? And the answer is I haven't done it very much at all.
Well, it takes all types, Vinny. Don't get down on yourself. I do the same thing, too, man. I make my videos, I put them up, and I'm not really doing much, you know, community activism. There's certain people got mouths, some people got cameras and bullhorns. It's just it's all kinds of us, man.
Yeah, some people got mouths, some people got balls. Well, see, again, the coolest stuff that you ever get on camera is when you're actually there in the middle of the action, isn't it?
Yep.
You know, at the protests and things like that. Yeah, we could talk till we're blue in the face on the radio all day long, but it doesn't have that air of action, you know, that awesomeness.
Well, like, if you get a breaking news story that people haven't heard before, that can be even better than the live shot, because you, radio guy, are leaving it up to the people's imagination a little bit. That's if you find, like, a juicy tidbit that you know something about that you can, like, throw out there. But to answer your question, and then I hope the question is also answered by the other guests, but it doesn't make sense in any universe to do that. It's just you would have to convince everyone all at once that it's wrong. And they think it's right because greed is kind of written into the code of the dollar. The greed is pretty much how everyone keeps stepping on each other's face and stuff. So when you look at it, when you're one of these guys that's like moved up into the company, you've been taught your whole life that the bottom line is the most important thing. You've never even been shown a human being and how the human being equates into that. So it's not so much just one guy sitting there. It's just a bunch of dumb people sitting there doing what they were told to do.
Yeah, retarded automatons with pens who control retarded automatons with guns. Isn't that interesting?
No, there's a lot of them with pens, though.
Yeah. Hey, with honestly, like, the founding documents of our countries, right? You know, like, the New Zealand founding document was come up with over a series of weeks and things like that in order to have, you know, like, one document that was easily understandable by all and, like, two pages or whatever in the New Zealand Treaty of Waitangi here. And then, yeah, jump forward to today. And the irrational party, or rather the National Party, who's in charge of the government right now, whose leader is a former Federal Reserve banker who was a Merrill Lynch's representative for 2 years for the European bond and derivatives trade. Dude, they've been passing minimum two whole laws per day, okay? And they've been in power for what, now, since 2008, I think? Or even earlier? Like, oh, my God. Does that mean they've come up with literally 1,000 laws at this point? More than 1,000. Like, 2,000 laws in the space of a couple of years, where the founding documents took a couple of weeks and they kind of still sit pretty today. There's a massive disparity there. And I wonder just what is being put into all this kind of legislation. I'm sure it's the exact same in the States. What do you reckon, Suzanne?
Oh, yeah. Well, Obama just writes an executive order. He makes the threat, if you don't do what I say to the Congress, I'm going to write an executive order, and then he does it. And so he doesn't care what our system of government is. He doesn't care about the checks and balances. He just writes an executive order, and he gets what he wants.
Yeah. Well, in New Zealand, what they do is they say, we're going to pass it under urgency, right? Like, that means that everybody has to be stuck in Parliament until they pass the law. Basically, that's it. We're doing it under urgency. And they do weird things under urgency, man, like practically everything, like mandatory chipping of cattle or something. Oh, my God, it's so urgent.
That sounds like duress.
Yeah. And the worst part is most of the parliamentarians aren't freaking there when they pass these laws. There's like a dozen people in the House out of 100-plus possible representatives.
They really know
the
when to put it in
not
there.
Being passed. The law's not even being passed by people who got elected and represented. They're being passed by a dozen representatives of the representatives who got elected. You've got to be freaking kidding me. It's like the Federal Reserve Act of 1913 gets passed by like six people who weren't on holiday and Christmas yet.
Yeah.
That's when to vote. If you want something to go through, that's when you do it.
Yeah.
Or the NDAA, when we're all celebrating New Year's Eve and having a drink, and by the way, all of our freedoms are gone in the next day.
Yeah. And the rate that they're writing legislation now, I mean, you know, old laws are very easy to understand, allegedly, you know. Like, I had a pastor on the show once, guys, and he said to me, look, this is a book of law here, okay? You can fit it between two fingers. You cannot fit the Patriot Act in between those two fingers. Heck, you need practically some kind of a forklift in order to pick up this legislation. You know, it's ridiculous. It's beyond a joke. How in the hell has everything gotten so convoluted so quickly and so easily? And the answer is people don't read anymore. And all the, I mean, look at it this way. What if laws were done as YouTube videos instead? Okay? And people could actually vote on them. Like, here's the legislation, et cetera, in plain, simple English. I don't know if anybody here has actually ever read a piece of legislation before, but it doesn't make any sense. It's convoluted, BS, wank, okay? I cannot come up with a more appropriate word for how legislation is currently conceived and written about other than the word wank. It's just that simple. It's beyond comprehension. You don't have any freaking clue what the hell they're talking about. You know, like, you're sitting there, you're reading this, and you go, speak English, motherfucker! You know, I don't get it. How can people...
Ooh.
Yeah. And unfortunately, we've only got about 45 seconds left in the segment. Suzanne, have you got any final words?
Get your money out of the bank. For the love of God, I've been saying it for like 9 months now. It's safer underneath your mattress than it is in the bank.
It's safer underneath your mattress while your house is burning down than in a bank.
Yes, right. Buy the wallet that Christopher Dorner had. It's industrial.
Yeah. Have some kind of I don't know. You can actually feed it to your dog, you know. Feed your Federal Reserve bank notes to your dog, and when it poos them out the other end, it would actually probably be just as useful at the same time frame as the money that you've still got left in the bank. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm just feeling a bit silly today. All right, Suzanne Posel, thank you very much for joining us. And Rupert Quaintance is my guest for the remainder of this first hour here. Suzanne, thank you very much, and fare thee well. She does a lot of articles. I don't have time to read them. In fact, I don't even have much time to read anything. In fact, if I'm on somebody's mailing list, please take me off it. I'm not reading it. We'll be right back after the break at thevinnieeastwoodshow.com. Ladies and gentlemen, to the show that you cannot hide from unless you do something very simple, click the pause button. It's the Vinny Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com, broadcasting live from the fabulously fluoridated capital of Auckland, New Zealand, the island change nation in the sunny slave South Pacific. It's not only fluoridated, it's also Fukushima irradiated, which is good for the economy because everybody now got a part-time job as an incandescent light bulb. My very special guest is Rupert Quaintance from Hi, It's Rupert. Now, what were we talking about over the break? Oh, yes.
Hello, my name is Eric Cartmanis. I'm here to teach you calculus. How do I reach these kids?
And he doesn't watch South Park, Rupert doesn't, ladies and gentlemen, but, you know, there was an episode where Eric Cartman becomes a fake teacher or whatever, and he gets sent to an inner-city school, you know, with really rough kids and stuff like that, and he teaches them how to cheat on all of their tests and everything like that. And he brings up all these examples of all these American sports stars, politicians, and celebrities and things like that that have succeeded only through cheating as the good reason why everybody should learn how to cheat and cheat as hard as they can. Oh, man. It's brilliant. It's brilliant. Well, anyway, Rupert, what's been happening with you, man?
What is up, my man?
Yeah.
To be honest, sometimes your accent gets me a little bit. What did you just ask me?
I said, what's up with you?
What's up with me, man? The same old thing, just working and making videos and stuff like that, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can understand that, man.
Are we going to do the... Because I've been known to get stuck in that accent. You don't want me to do that. Be sitting here all day, like, talking about myself like this, man.
Maybe we should, I said.
I don't know if I could keep it up there, Vinny.
It's a kind of a scratchy thing, you know, like it's a Cheech Marin thing, I think, you know.
A lot of
you
people have to... do that, have that kind of vibration. Like Alex Jones, he's like, listen, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, well, I found the best way to clear your throat is to do an Alex Jones impression, particularly if you say the word derivatives. So if you say derivatives, throat's clear.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. So at what point, let me ask you something. At what point does all of this just, because I think it has driven you completely mad. It has driven me past the point of madness, at least. At first, you're just kind of mad about it, and then you realize, no. Nobody else around you is seeming to care as much as you.
Well, you know, I've
like that.
What do you mean, bro? Could you redefine the question?
Well, just the ability. People don't seem to have the ability to read between the lines with the news. They still think it's real. You know, they still care about football and all that crap that doesn't really matter, like clothes and, you know, shiny objects that have.
See, I don't know about you, but I don't hang out with any of those people for that very reason. Is that they don't know what the hell they're talking about, and they don't know what the hell they're even doing. They don't even understand what it is they're watching. They don't even know the history behind where the games came from or anything like that. I do. So instead of sitting there going, I don't know. Wait, is that an impression of a football fan these days? I don't know. It sounds like somebody with a low IQ. Maybe they're the same thing. The whole point is, mate, you got to prioritize who you're hanging with, yo. okay? There's 7 billion people on this planet. 7 billion? Why right, but waste second of your time with people who ain't worth it?
So what? Yeah, like you hang out in a bar full of people who are all like you?
No. I hang out in the bar with a couple people like me and don't talk to the rest of them other than jovial kind of, oh, yeah, blah, 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 blah. You know, that's about it.
So you're kind of a clicky guy. You're real clicky. Like you're not trying to...
Now, you'll be surprised how many people I can click with.
No, I'm not doubting that. I'm just saying when I'm in the bar, I try not to cling to any one particular segment of people. That way, if a fight breaks out, no one will know what to do with me. Be like, listen, go home. Are you also an extrovert?
I'm pretty extroverted, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can get along with pretty much anybody. Like that's kind of one of my innate talents. My father had the same thing, you know, you can just strike up a conversation and make a friendship within minutes. And another part of it is just being able to relate to people. You know, even people who have really nothing in common with me, I can still find common ground somehow. I don't know how the hell I do it, but I do it. And the key is just to basically have some empathy for some people. Just because they're working a slave job, have no idea that 9/11 is an inside job, planning on going to some kind of illustrious sporting event where they will learn nothing about the game other than who won and by how much, doesn't mean they're a bad person. And as I recall, most people who are awake, you know, in inverted commas, awake today, walking the earth, were once like that. And what happens is once you awaken, you begin to hold a pin on your fellow man and saying, oh, and I think my producer said this to me the other day. He said, I think whoever's woken up already is it, you know, and whoever hasn't woken up is never going to wake up. I said to him, look, bro, when did you wake up? And he goes, oh, about 1995. And I go, okay, see, before 1995, you were just as much of a dumb slave sheeple as the rest of them, yet you woke up. So you can't say with certainty that people aren't going to wake up. Hope springs eternal. And I think if you really focus on the good in people, you wind up living a happier life and you wind up getting more people interested in the truth and doing the right thing. But you've got to really lead by example.
That's completely true. Like, I completely agree with you. And that's like a heavy responsibility if you think about it.
Well, see, you know, there's a trouble in this movement of getting jaded and turning into a troll. I think that's really it.
Well, I think the reason that I contacted you is that I saw this. Like, did you see that video that somebody made where they, like, took all your baddest little moments and or like, out of context and strung them all together and said that you had been exposed? Did you see that?
Oh, yes.
I was like, oh, my God, I know Vinny. And he's completely being taken out of context. So I think that's one of the reasons I asked to be on again. Because I saw that. I was just like, it just reminded me of just you as a person, really. You know, so I was just like, hey, I gotta holler at Vinny about this. Like, what?
That's yeah.
Pretty, who likes you that much that they're sitting there like grabbing and sticking all of your worst bits together? That's awful.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to talk about it, honestly, Rupert, well, because...
I mean, I have a habit of bringing up things people don't want to talk about. I mean, that's my whole gig.
Yeah, well, it's just, it's when I attacked this person, I didn't do it on radio, okay? I only did it on YouTube, where my following's much, much, much lower. Because I didn't want this to turn into a, you know, an on-air Shiite Muslim fight, as it were. Basically, look, you listeners, I know a lot of you personally. And I know that you don't like truth or infighting, and I know you really, really just can't stand it, and I know that you switch off. Hence, we don't want to talk about it on air. You know, off air, doing a little video thing, fine. But the rest of it, like, I've had a number of videos of this person on my YouTube channel, almost every single one of which, they do privacy complaints against them, so I have to remove them. So basically, last night I just like was really ticked off at these privacy complaints on these videos. Even his videos exposing me, I put up on my YouTube channel because I believe in transparency. He claimed privacy on those.
He's trolling you hard, dude.
Yeah. So I put it up on Facebook and said, you know, everybody, you've got to expose this guy and download these videos and re-upload them to your own channel so he can't do nothing about it. And then about a minute later, after talking to one of my Aussie listeners, Glenn, who's a good friend of mine, I said, you know what? He's right, because he's talking about the truth is airing their dirty laundry and how he doesn't like it. So I deleted those two posts and privated all of the videos so that he can't do privacy complaints, but nobody else can watch them either. That's how little I care about this person and what they do to me. I just want to completely delete it as if it doesn't exist.
Oh, my goodness. I didn't know it was all that. I wouldn't have brought it up, man.
Yeah.
See, well, now I know.
I don't bring it up.
All right.
Yeah.
But, you know. You're a funny guy.
Well, see, this is how you're supposed to deal with people who are you know, well, again, like we were saying before about, you know, hanging out in your clique or whatever. Basically, you've got to also get rid of people who are toxic, who have no benefit for your life. Who have literally nothing better to do than, as you said, sit around trying to cut out little bad bits of things that I've said taken out of context. Those kind of people are not the kind of people that you want to reply to. Those kind of people are the ones that you don't want to remain unblocked. So, you know, I did a post about that, and somebody give me some kind of insult. I think he said fracking retards or something like that. Fracking being the euphemism, of course. Uh-huh. And then after I deleted the thread, he goes, why did you delete the thread? What was it? Ass twat, he called me. And I don't know what an ass twat was. Well, was it that good. Kind of like where the ass and the twat kind of merges through some kind of Fukushima radiation mutation, and so it develops into a sexual organ that smells of poo? I don't know what that is.
Definitely overthinking it a little bit.
Maybe. But again, I tried to argue with this person and said, what are you talking about? And then he accused me of not knowing anything about being a journalist. And so I asked him what he knows about being a journalist, and then he says, F you. So it's like, okay. This person obviously is retarded and a scumbag. Block! And never hear from the motherfucker again.
Ugh.
That's it. That's how you deal with these people. It's like, I don't know, if you've ever gone into the mirror in the morning when you get up and you go, man, that's a massive pimple on my nose. Pop! And it's gone.
I don't know if popping people is quite like popping zits, although both can be very satisfying, for sure. Mm.
Yeah.
There's
an element of satisfaction.
I had a troll for a while. Did you know that I'm a reptile?
Really?
That's totally what happened. Like, I got called out. Total reptile. Not good. Not good. It's bad looks, man. People freak out about that.
Yep.
Are you also a reptile? Have you been accused of this feat as well?
I've not been accused of being a reptile yet. I'm not sure. In fact, when people accuse me of stuff, I just kind of like think about it for a second. I don't know about you, man, but when people tell lies about me, and this happened to me all the way through high school, I'd be suspended from high school for literally doing nothing, for something that somebody else made up. And it's happened more times than I can remember. And there's nothing that you can do to anger me more than to accuse me of something that I didn't do and not believe me.
But, I understand that.
Yeah, and not believe me when I tell you and show you evidence to the contrary.
I think there's Yeah, I think there's an honor thing buried deep in some of us, because just you saying that makes me think of times when I've been told that I either didn't do something that was positive that I actually did do. I think that one hurts. It's just as worse as being accused of something you didn't do, not getting credit. Not only not getting credit, but being told you didn't do it. That's the messed up thing.
Yeah.
That makes me very angry. Very angry indeed.
Your blood kind of boils, and last night I had trouble getting to sleep, because you know when you go to bed angry, you can't sleep, you know, you're tossing and turning, and you're really effed off. For some reason, I feel really good today, like really good today. I was feeling like crap the last couple of days, man, like honestly, because of this money situation with PayPal just messing me around. Whew, it was hardcore.
Dude, I hate money. I hate money so much. I know everybody else does too. It's really strange. I don't know. Sometimes, I mean, pretty much every morning when I get up, I kind of have the same habit. I get up and I kind of take a scan of me. I'm just like, hey, this is me. And then I start thinking about the outside world. And then I just immediately go into this global perspective where I'm just like, how many other people are doing exactly what I'm doing right now? Like, how many people are going to do something that they probably... I like my job. I just don't like how chained to it I am. I like doing the job. It's a lot of fun. But it's really... Oh, it's hard. And I know it's hard. It's a lot harder for other people with their jobs. I just don't know how everyone's still doing it. Like, why hasn't some kind of 100th monkey effect taken over where people are just like, I'm not doing this no more.
Maybe it's because we're not monkeys. Maybe it's because there's an extra layer of things that go on there. Animals of higher intelligence develop the propensity to lie to others and to lie to themselves. And I think that if you're one of the 100 monkeys who's able to lie to himself and say that those other 100 monkeys don't freaking exist, you can keep doing the wrong thing forever. We'll be right back after the break. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. Rupert, you've done your press-ups.
Yeah, I did a couple. I did a few.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I did my sprinting, you know, just back and forth on the lawn.
That's good. I think you have enough energy that you probably, like, in the middle of the show, probably could just, like, run back and forth a whole bunch.
Yeah. Well, I do drink remarkably large amounts of coffee. In fact, that's one of the hidden secrets of being a successful talk radio show host, is to be high off your nut on caffeine all the time.
Yeah. Yeah, it totally makes you sound really in the now. Like, brah.
Brah.
So, let's just jump to something. I saw this on the TV. I saw it on the TV just in passing earlier today, but this is the headline off of Reuters. Colorado prison chief shot on eve of gun laws signing. Somebody shot him in his house just before the governor signed new gun control laws. And Colorado apparently is awash in mass shootings. This is why I try to avoid. I used to really be a news hound. I don't know what happened. I don't know at what point I started like just being like either blasé about the news I find out about or just completely numb to it. Like this is just, it seems like more of the same to me.
I think it's once you realize we're all fracked anyway, the news ceases to have meaning.
It's so defeatist, but so true at the same time, man.
Yeah, well, see, I'm kind of like the eternal defeatist, you know? I'm always self-defeatist, but I'll never be defeated. You know what I'm saying?
You mean like everybody is better than you?
Assuming, yeah. Mostly. That's the best thing. Yeah. It's good to hang out with people that you feel are better than yourself, because if you're the most intelligent person in the room or the most successful or whatever, and everybody else is like sitting around listening to you, talking to you and stuff like that, and the focus is you, It actually concerns me a little that people are like that. And it's happened to me before when I've gone out and been the famous guy and stuff, and it's just been like, dudes, no, don't be that way. Let's just have a drink and have a few laughs and stuff like that. I'm just an ordinary person, okay? Everything that people think that that I am based on radio shows or any of this media stuff that I'm doing where lots of people can see me or hear me isn't me. And I think a lot of radio show hosts forget that. They get entranced by this microphone. They think that the voice coming out of the radio is them, when it's just something that they're saying. It's not them.
It's true. It's very true. The same thing happened to Dice Clay. Like Dice Clay, like the whole nasty thing that he used to do with the Brooklyn accent, that was something that he started just kind of in passing, like as a character. And then when he found out it was really popular, he started doing that on stage. And then the stage personality became his actual personality. So like Andrew Dice Clay, the invention, ate the real Andrew Dice Clay and kind of chewed him up and spit him out. It's kind of weird, man. Fame does weird things to people.
Yeah, it does. And my primary concern is that I'll become the very enemy that I started off doing this to fight. You know what I'm saying? I'll become some kind of a egotistical, sociopathic, knuckle-dragging, mouth-breathing, mono-browed, truck-driving...
You kind of sound like...
Bathroom stall graffitiing type of individual who I just don't identify with.
I think secretly, somewhere in there, you actually sort of desire all of those things at the same time.
It's very true.
Yeah, because I know I do too, especially the truck driving and bathroom wall graffitiing. I think that those were the two that made me the most jealous.
Mm-hmm. And this is no offense to knuckle draggers or mouth breathers or people with monobrows or people who graffiti on bathrooms or truck drivers or anything like that. I apologize if anybody's been insulted by that. It was just,
there is a guy covered in Doritos dust right now who is so mad at you. He's sitting there. He's like, oh my God, he just described me.
Like there's this cloud that kind of just got kicked up. Like, you know, when you see a truck driving through the desert and there's this cloud of dust that's kicked up behind it as it rolls through with the semis and what have you. That's what just happened to that guy, and his cloud of Doritos just.
There's that many Dorito particles all over this man.
Yeah. Apparently, when you fart, you fart out poo particles and people inhale them.
That's what I've thought for a long time.
Yeah.
Dude, what else is hitting your nose? What else is making that happen? Poo particles? See, could you count gas as poo particles?
Well, I don't know. I think there's actual solid, you know, little microscopic little poo particles that come out of there, you know. They make it through the thread. If you can smell the gas, it means that there's particulates in it. And my concern is that, you know, your nasal hairs and things like that, that if you farted on enough, there'll be a sufficient residue of poo particles that are captured by your nasal hairs, which are supposed to filter out air to a certain extent, that you'll have this constant smell of fart.
I don't think that's entirely true. I think it's some, like,
I don't know
string theory kind of thing. Depends on where you were. You know, if you were in, like, a movie theater.
We'd have to do some tests. In a lab.
You go eat all that chili and drink all that Orangina that would be, you know, that you would have to have in order to get those kind of results.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the lab would have to have an extractor fan, of course. You know.
And some kind of catcher in the top.
Yeah. Preferably a catcher.
That's disgusting. How did we get here? I have no idea.
Right. You're just a bad person, Rupert, and you take the conversation in a horrific direction.
Oh, wait, yeah.
It was actually me that did that.
I think it was you who said poo particles.
I did.
Said it.
I did. How narcissistic of me. The other side of things is, anyway, you know, shifting on to something a little bit more serious, is the fact that if you're alive and you're paying attention, life becomes really hard because you know how bad things are. Whereas if you're alive and you're not paying attention, life is freaking easy, you know, because you live in one moment to the next. Hey, I'm still able to pay my rent today. Whereas somebody who knows that the bankers are doing all this stuff and whatever is constantly under an aura of stress and threat in their life. And that's actually the reason for this show in particular, is because that used to be me. I used to be feeling threatened and feeling stressed out by all this news and everything that I found out, you know, where previously I'd believed in the system. And I was just thinking, how in the hell do I stop stressing out about all this stuff all day, every day? How do I get out of that mindset of freaking out, saying, screaming 9/11 was an inside job at the top of my lungs, and calling people slaves and sheep and scum and things like that, getting that negativity and that bitterness and everything. And it's just having a laugh, mate. Seriously. If you can't laugh, you'll cry. And so you got to laugh. You have to. You don't really have much of a choice, okay? And hopefully there are people who listen to this program who laugh and actually enjoy it, as opposed to when you're listening to virtually every other program out there where it's like, wow, that's interesting, or, ow, that's really scary. It's very rarely, oh, man, that's freaking hilarious, you know, because when you think of things that are hilarious, you're smiling, you're happy. It's just something that's sadly missing in this movement. And, Rupert, you're one of the only other people that I know that is actually funny and does make videos that make me laugh, kind of thing.
Thanks. Yeah, I really try hard to make silly things serious and then serious things silly. And sometimes it makes people mad and they get upset with me, but that's not ever my intention. But sometimes it happens. But, you know, basically the highest Rupert show on YouTube has just become what is collected at any one point, at any given time in my inbox. It could be something stupid with a cat in it. It could be something very serious with, like, a rape story in it or something weird like that. So, you know, it's just anything. I used to try to do thematic videos, but they always end up 11 minutes long, which is longer than I like to go. They always end up, like, 10, 12 minutes long, and don't come out as good as I want them to. So it's just kind of become the potpourri that it was intended to be, of just all the crap. Like, did you see the latest one? Like, there's some weird stuff in there.
No, but we've only got about 40 seconds to summarize for the audience.
Oh my God, great.
And plug your sites and what have you.
Yes, sir. Well, much like your show, which is a fantastic show, and I'm so glad you had me on again, my show is designed to make you laugh in the face of things that might be funny and might not be funny. So it's High Throughput on YouTube. Check it out and make sure that you can check the channel. I will probably, once this gets posted up, I will probably post it on the page as well.
All right.
What do you got coming up?
What have we got coming up? Some dude named Jabba. I don't think Jabba the Hutt, because as I recall, he got killed by Carrie Head, from Babylon Decoded. Babylon Decoded, I think. Talking about, I don't know.
I know Jabba. Jabba's awesome.
Do you? Okay.
I know that cat.
All right. Excellent. Well, maybe you can listen in then. We'll be right back, ladies and gentlemen, at the Vinnie Eastwood Show. com. Also, just a reminder to people who have cancelled their subscription to the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com. If you want a refund from the previous account, we can do those for you. And please resubscribe at the homepage, the Vinnie Eastwood Show.com, right there on the homepage, a little PayPal button. We've had all those issues resolved. All right. So we'll see you after the break, ladies and gentlemen.